Greater Santon and beyond. Get ready for the Santon Times Hour.
With your host,
Alexander.
We're doing it all again for another week. It's the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and is always available as a podcast on Apple, Google and Spotify. I'm Alexander Leipner and this is edition 105. It's week 10 of 2023 and we're well into March. And before we know it, the first quarter of 2023 is going to be done. Unbelievable. If you want to get in touch, you can email editor@santontimes.co.za and you can connect with us on social media at Santon Times. On TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. Vincenzo, what else have we got? There's an Apple playlist. Yeah, that's also one. Well, whichever one you're on, pick one and follow the Santon Times. You can also visit the website www.santontimes.co.za and send us your questions, your comments, your feedback, your input. You're part of this conversation and you're part of the Santon Times Hour Nation if you tune in regularly. And you do tune in regularly, as far as I know, from places like Gauteng, South Africa, and the rest of the globe. And I'm always happy to report to the community that all is well in Santon land. Vincenzo is back behind the desk, taxiing us onto the runway for another hour. Thank you to you. And if you're listening live on Mix 93.8 and not on the podcast, well, the WhatsApp line is open on 084-822-0938. Just save that number onto your phone. And, you know, every time you want to send a WhatsApp to Mix, you don't have to go and type it in or, you know, make a big story of it. You can just have it there. Just send a message. It's always good to hear from you. Well, what a week it has been. I managed to see some old faces and meet some new ones at Meetings Africa 2023, which took place in Santon. And it's an event that's dedicated to travel, to tourism, to MICE. And if you're not in the business and in the lingo, it's Meetings, Incentives, Conferences and Events. And a lot of business going on, a lot of meetings going on, mostly hotel groups, there's some train companies, a lot of the province tourism boards were represented there in the convention centers, also some from the rest of the continent as well. And it's organized by Tourism South Africa, who are better at organizing events than they are at setting up interviews, let me tell you. Then there were a few launches this week as well, but I'm going to tell you about those in just a few minutes. And then finally, I wrapped up the week by spending 2 days test driving the new BMW 3 Series and the new BMW X1. And the details of those two new releases will be up on the Santon Times website this week if you want to have a quick squiz. Very, very nice. I must say, at the end of the day, the two diesel editions really impressed me. But available as a petrol and a diesel, and I believe there's also a bit of a hybrid slash electric plan happening later this year. But all will be up on the website. If you are a bit into motoring, if you're looking into cars, that's something for you. Well, coming up on this week's show, have you been thinking of making a move in the light of never-ending load shedding, soaring prices and unacceptable crime rates? Well, I'll be chatting to a property expert in Mauritius to see if the palm trees are greener on the other side. Then this past week, I headed over to Discovery Health to find out a bit more about their obesity index or obesity index. See what they did there. Showing the South African city with the healthiest weight ahead of World Obesity Day. And I also sat down with the global CEO of the Safilo Group, the world's third largest eyewear manufacturer. He was in Johannesburg and we had a brief chat. Then after that, the Flight Center Travel Group reported it is seeing a strong recovery in the market with its corporate brands outpacing the broader industry recovery and its leisure business currently trading at post-COVID highs. I'll be chatting to the managing director to find out more, so stay tuned for that. And finally, the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival is back and I catch up with one of the performing comedians to see if there's anything left to laugh about. This and more coming up shortly, and as always, we'll be touching on the headlines in a minute, but let's get the hour going with a little something from the playlist.
Show some love.
Subscribe. Share.
Leave a review and rating for the Santon Times Hour.
On your favorite podcast app now.
Online.
On air.
Anywhere.
Anytime.
This is the Santon Times Hour.
This is indeed the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Madan by Huska and Salif Keita. It's trending on TikTok and Reels at the moment. And well, talking about trending, here are the headlines for this week. Well, sad news in the world of media this week as much-loved radio and television personality Mark Pilgrim passed away aged 53. I have to say I had the pleasure of engaging with Mark on numerous occasions during my media career from the days of Big Brother, South Africa, remember that? And then later on during my time in management at a Pan-African media business, we had a few times that we actually engaged on all kinds of platforms, and he was always such a fantastic guy, and he did live in Greater Sandton, and I also had the chance to chat to him during our second episode of the Sandton Times Hour, then the Sandton Times podcast exclusively, and that was back in 2020 when we were all deep in lockdown at home.
So a lot of people are finding that radio is more of a companion than ever before. And that's our aim, to really just uplift the spirits. It just really puts a smile on people's faces while they're at home. For many people, they are alone at home. So we are the companionship. It's as if we're in their homes. We're in it together because I'm doing the show from home. So it's like we're keeping each other company.
And I saw you were even ironing some shirts in between a couple of tracks.
Yeah, that's me always trying to have a laugh. So I posted a picture on Twitter, for those that don't know what we're talking about, with the strap line, "Have you ever wondered what DJs do when a song is playing?" And I had my headphones on. You can see my mixing desk. I'm doing my radio show, but I had an ironing board and I was ironing at the same time. And I think maybe tomorrow's post might be me with a hairdryer blow drying my bald head.
Well, there you have it, the voice of the late Mark Pilgrim. And his motto till the very end was, "Don't stop believing." And he was certainly the kind of person who always saw the positive in life. And my love goes out to his friends and family at this time. And Mark, well, may you rest in peace. Another sad passing this week was of South African celebrity chef Lentswe Bengu Mafoko. A statement read that he had the misfortune of suffering a short illness and succumbed on February 28 at the Sandton Mediclinic. There are a series of memorial services planned for him this week, and our thoughts go out to his friends and family too. And then actress Terry Pettor's luxury Bryanston mansion went under the hammer, which is said to have been built with funds looted from the National Lottery Commission grant funds, according to IOL. Yet by the end of the auction, there were no bids, reports News 24. And now the big question is, I suppose, will it go back onto auction? Will there be a private sale? But the fact is that they didn't get the amount that they wanted for this house. And yeah, never a dull moment in Sandton. But have you ever come across a house or a property that you wanted to buy that maybe didn't have such great vibes? And did you decide to buy it, or did you decide to not buy it because there were some sort of odd things going on either before or during the purchase that, I don't know, just put you off? Let me know. Be interested to hear from you. Drop me a WhatsApp or get in touch on social media. Be interesting to hear from you. Let's leave the headlines right there for this week. As more South Africans seek a change of scenery to live, work, or invest in, Mauritius continues to feature very high on that list. I'm joined by Brian Blatch. He's the executive director of Park Lane Properties, right after the break.
The latest news.
The biggest names.
The best destinations.
The hottest entertainment. This is the Sandton Times Hour. The best of talk and music in 1 hour. This is the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and also available on all good podcast platforms. And as we get this week's show on the road, I don't know how you're feeling right now, but I think there's a lot of people out there who are starting to think, well, you know, how much more load shedding can I do? How many more potholes can I handle? Maybe I need to go buy an island and go live in it. Well, unless you've won Powerball, that might be an option. But if you're not ready to buy an island, maybe moving to an island might be an option. I think a lot of South Africans are starting to look at all their options in terms of what do they do? Do they stick around? Do they build solar panels? Or do they actually make a complete a different decision and go somewhere else? And one of those places that is unbelievably popular, especially for holidays as well, is Mauritius. So I thought, well, let's get someone on the line who has a bit of an understanding of how this could potentially work. And I'm thrilled to be joined by Brian Blatch. He's the executive director of Park Lane Properties. And Brian, what kind of demand are you seeing at the moment from South Africans wanting to move to Mauritius?
Alec, thanks for having me. And we're getting a lot of demand lately. I can say that from in the beginning, it was pretty much one-sided in the sense that we had more your high net worth that were interested in Mauritius, but now we're getting just your medium sector as well, very interested. I think everybody's just looking for what they call the plan B.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, so it's no longer just sort of a leisure option, like a holiday home or something that you go to, you know, once in a blue moon. This is now potentially an option in terms of having one foot out the door, one foot in the door.
Absolutely. I don't think everybody's ready to take that step now and move completely, or at least with all their family, but at least they want to get things set up, residency and so on, and a place to stay eventually. And in light of that, a lot of people are now taking that route.
Yeah. I mean, you've kind of touched on it in your answer now, and maybe we can just sort of expand on that. It's not just about having a roof over your head in another country. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other sort of pull factors that are drawing people to Mauritius. And what are you finding are some of those attractive options that people are looking at when considering Mauritius?
Well, I think first and foremost, we're a very peaceful nation. I think the question of the security issues in a lot of countries today make us very interesting in that regard. Historically, you know, for many decades, we've been tax residency here, 15%. So that's also an interesting factor. When people buy property, for example, there's no capital gains tax. So when they're selling and they're making their profit, it's all for themselves. So, you know, there's a lot of factors. Obviously, for South Africans as well, we're so close, four hours away by flight. Our climate's pretty much similar. Lovely, beautiful weather. We don't get as cold as you guys, but there's a lot of good things to draw people here.
For sure, for sure. I mean, you also left out the Mauritian rum, but we don't have to talk about that right now. But I'm sure that's also quite a popular choice.
Indeed.
Mauritius is not a big nation. I mean, I think at last count, 1.5 million people are on the island. And I mean, you can kind of get from north to south and east and west within sort of 2 hours drive quite comfortably.
Correct.
Are they not sick of the South Africans yet? I mean, there must be quite a few of us already walking around Mauritius.
No, I think we're talking about 15,000 or potentially a bit more than that. So when you mix that up with the 1.5 million, I mean, you get mingling in nicely.
I'm with you.
So no, I don't think,
Yeah. But I mean, like, let's talk about the realities of kind of doing this practically. I mean, when you move to Mauritius, I mean, you're not going to be living in the five-star resorts that you're probably familiar with when you do go on holiday there. I mean, that's not sort of the usual life. You know, you kind of have to almost bring yourself back to sort of everyday life. It's not a holiday.
True. But in saying that, don't forget that a lot of people that are here, foreigners, they like to enjoy that sort of lifestyle over weekends, for example. So, you know, even though they in their homes during the week, they have their mundane activities, taking kids to school, you know, them going to work, them doing their sport and gym and so on. Come weekends, they can head for the hills, as we say, go to the hotels, enjoy the five-star hotels. The only time of the year, it's probably just a two-month period over peak season where those sort of hotels would be reluctant to let them in because they're just chock-a-block full.
Sure.
But for the other 10 months of the year, they welcome them in and they can enjoy all the facilities and have a great weekend at the hotel. Why not?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, I've heard from a lot of people, friends who've moved to Mauritius, where they say, you know, your kids have much more of an outdoor lifestyle because it just lends itself to that, because Mauritius is just very outdoor with the ocean, the mountains, obviously all the nature that it has. On the other side, you might also experience a bit of island fever. You know, if you're sort of on an island that's literally 2 hours in either direction, you might feel like, okay, at some point I need to go somewhere else as well. So it's got its upsides and its downsides, but if you're looking at sort of getting into the property space and it's not sort of your primary residence, I mean, does sort of buying a property to rent it out also count as some sort of residential or residency move?
Yes. In fact, the tendency previously was to buy your property and if you're not really using it, put it into what they call the rental pool. Mm-hmm. And then it means that basically you're only getting a 2% return on your investment. So that was not very interesting. I think it was more for the high net worth individuals who were not really looking for a return necessarily as per se. They were looking more as a capital investment, a good investment. But more and more people are now going for the short-term rentals, which means that they're buying in properties that are allowing short-term rentals, and then they're getting good returns, you know.
Your Airbnb kind of structure.
Correct. Correct. Obviously, there's permits that need to be applied for, but once you get, you know, your permit and you're allowed to operate as such, then you're A for away.
Well, Brian, listen, I mean, I think we could talk about this for another 20 or 30 minutes because I think there's so much to unpack here. But if I can give anyone a little bit of advice, if they've never looked into this, I think one of the great stepping stones is to potentially go on holiday to Mauritius, actually live a little bit of a local life as opposed to just sitting in your villa, in your resort and enjoying the plunge pool, actually going out into some of the city streets, into the town, and sort of live like a local for a little bit and get a feel for it. And also, Brian, maybe reach out to you at Park Lane Properties, have a chat and get a sense of what it's all about.
With pleasure. I mean, we're here and we are welcoming South Africans as well as folk from all over the world every day. The more the merrier.
Absolutely, Brian. Well, that's Brian Blatch, he's the executive director at Park Lane Properties in Mauritius. And we'll put up some information up on the website as well. If you want to go check that out, get some more details, or just maybe just browse the website with more info, you can do that. It's the bottom of the hour of the Santon Times Hour. We're going to take a quick musical break. And there's more of the Santon Times Hour right after this.
For more,
the Santon Times Hour continues.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Timid and Lisa with Somewhere Only We Know. Taking you to the second half of the Santon Times Hour, my name is Alexander Leipner, and you know how this works. If there's anything that sounded good during the show but you didn't manage to get all the details, be sure to visit the show notes on www.santontimes.co.za for a detailed breakdown of everything discussed on this week's edition. Also, be sure to check out the social media accounts at Santon Times, and feel free to engage. Send a tweet, a WhatsApp, a DM, a voice note, whatever works for you. And it's always good to hear from you. And you can also use the hashtag SantonTimesHour. So this week I went out and about to a couple of events. And then as I do, I take my recorder with me. Because sometimes, you know, it's difficult to kind of coordinate interviews at the time when you need them, or they're not available, I'm not available, however it works. So sometimes you kind of have to do this on the go. And managed to get two very interesting interviews, kicking off with the very first one, which is with the global CEO of the Safilo Group, Angelo Trocchia. And to give you an idea, the Safilo Group is the third largest manufacturer of eyewear in the world. It's an Italian company that designs, produces, and distributes eyewear. And they have their own house brands, and they also have 32 licensed brands. So you might know some of the brands. I mean, one of the reasons he was here was the refresh launch of Carrera. They've brought out some new eyewear. They also look after Polaroid eyewear, amongst many others. And then some of the licensed eyewear brands that they do is Boss, Carolina Herrera, Fossil, Jimmy Choo, Marc Jacobs, Moschino, Tommy Hilfiger, and Under Armour, and many, many more. It's a close to €1 billion in revenue business, to give you a sense of how big this business is. And it was Angelo's first visit to South Africa, and I asked him, what was his first impressions of the country?
First of all, I've been impressed how big is it. I mean, I was driving a little bit with my colleagues, and the distance, the land are really big, which I think it's quite amazing. Maybe it's a stupid thing, but I found a country by far greener than what I thought. And I believe that this is a country very nice, with problem, but the problem are everywhere. So I believe that this is a country which can be a great growth opportunity for the Safilo Group, and this is why I'm here.
Well, you've certainly got a global perspective on a very, very big business in terms of fashion, in terms of eyewear. Do you find that there's something unique in the South African market compared to any other market in the world?
But I believe somehow, you know, there are common trends, but at the end, the consumer is local. The consumer in South Africa has by sure need, which are different from what the consumer needs are in US or whether are in Europe, whether in China. So I believe that this is why, as a Safilo Group, we believe in strong local teams, because the strong local teams are rooted into the country, so they can understand better, exactly, for example, for the same brands, but how that brand fits you know, or can be adapted to the local needs. So I believe that any country has its own differences. I think we need to be better than compared to the other, you know, to understand how our portfolio can be slightly adjusted to the different reality. That is going to be, I think, one of the fundamental reasons if you grow or you don't grow, because the opportunities are there. Question is, are you able to catch it? Are we able to understand the opportunity? You know, some of our brands, like Carrera, for example, I believe that here we are going to twist slightly, not to to adapt what the local consumer is. So some of the Carrera DNA, some of the Carrera equity is going to be exactly the same everywhere you go in the world. But then, you know, how we adapt that equity, that execution to this country, that is the local team, we should do that. So I believe that in this way, with this mindset to listen to the consumer, listen to the customer, not coming here with global model, which doesn't work anymore. You know, you need to have a framework, a strategic framework. We have a strategic framework as a global company, but then we need to adapt on what are the local needs, what is happening here, what are the dynamic. And that makes, I think, the huge difference.
Are you seeing any major trends coming out of the pandemic now? I mean, people have spent a lot of time in front of their screens, obviously creates a lot of fatigue with their eyes. You do a bit of optic, but you also do sunglasses. Yeah. Has that impacted a lot where the business is going?
I think there is one huge trend which was there before pandemic, but after pandemic is exploding, which is everything related to outdoor. People like to spend time outside. Bike is a huge phenomenon. In general, people after the COVID has been reflected on their whole life, so they like to spend more time outside. So for example, you know, some of our brands which have a sort of outdoor dimension are growing crazy. You know, we have Smith, which is the sport brand in North America. It's doubled the business. Carrera, the sport dimension of Carrera, it's growing crazy. So I think I'd say that one of the main trend, which is going to stay for a while, is everything outdoor. And within outdoor, bike or hiking or walking, that is a huge trend, which was there before pandemic, but after pandemic, it is exploding. I mean, bike world is growing 70% for the last years. It will keep growing, you know. So I believe that after COVID, any one of us has reflected that maybe, you know, we cannot keep spending just our life in our small room or in front of a screen. We will do that, but, you know, we will balance to, okay, let's have a walk, let's have a trip, let's have an outdoor experience. So that is, I believe, is one of the biggest trends we see. And this is honestly a trend that we see everywhere. You know, you go in US, you go in Europe, you go also, for example, in Asia, you come here. I think here, for example, I've been, how many sport shops you see in the shopping mall is huge. So it means that the trend is there. So this is really one of the trends which I would say is more common everywhere I'm going.
And that was Angelo Trocchia. He is the global CEO of the Sofila Group in South Africa for the event around the Carrera eyewear brand. And yeah, it was good to chat to him. Interesting to get a global perspective on the eyewear business. Then Discovery Vitality, well, they announced the results of a national study comparing members' collective weight across South African cities. And you must be thinking, wow, that must be a frightening number. Well, the Obesity Index Healthy Weight Ranking lists the healthiest to least healthy cities as follows. So at the bottom of the list, in terms of least healthiest, is Gqeberha, followed by Bloemfontein, at number 5. Then at number 4, we have Pretoria. At number 3, Durban. At number 2, Johannesburg. And at number 1, as the healthiest city, is Cape Town. So Cape Town has the healthiest members on this index. And Discovery Vitality analyzed almost 300,000 Vitality health checks completed across South Africa in 2022 to rank the cities according to the proportion of Vitality members who have a healthy weight. Some of the other data showed that Johannesburg had the highest percentage of members logging a workout, while Bloemfontein had the lowest. And then Cape Town members had the highest percentage of healthy food purchases, while those in Pretoria had the least. I sat down with endocrinologist and you'll soon find out also philosopher, Dr. Sundeep Ruda, to make sense of some of the issues and also wanted to know what he was seeing in his day-to-day consultations in his practice.
You know, particularly with lifestyle diseases, we're seeing a lot more obesity, number one, type 2 diabetes. I think the prevalence of obesity has massively increased across the demographic in South Africa and across the age spectrum. A lot more younger adolescents that I see with obesity, certainly more females than males. And then also just from a general point of view, the symptomatology that patients are presenting with, fatigue and stress and burnout, seem to be at a very high level at the moment, which speaks to perhaps the sign of our times, people in a very stressed state. And we call these lifestyle diseases, so the question has to come up, what are we getting wrong? But certainly all of these are an increased prevalence, yeah.
I mean, we touched on some of the issues during this morning's briefing, talking about obviously not getting a lot of activity, not getting the right kind of food into our bodies and feeding ourselves with things that are too dense, and maybe not enough nutrients. But those are sort of things that we've spoken about for decades. Are there any new elements or new sort of findings that are coming into the mix that are just making things that much worse?
No, I think, I don't think there's anything new that's driving the behavior, right? You must remember that human action is driven by desire, and desires come from thoughts, right? So what you're highlighting is that as a species, we are more technologically advanced, more knowledgeable on every aspect of human life. We know what healthy nutrition is. We know we need to be active, yet we're not getting it right. And the real fundamental research and question has to be, why aren't we getting it right despite the prevailing available knowledge? Anyone can access knowledge on an app today on Google, isn't it? What to eat, what not to eat, it's there, but we're not getting it right. And I think that's a fundamental question about the minds of our modern society. I think there's a type of education that's missing that improves critical thinking rather than giving us utilitarian knowledge. You see, utilitarian knowledge is you can learn facts, but it doesn't teach you how to think. Now, how is it that the animal kingdom gets it right? Survival, eating, activity, no dilemma of choice, isn't it? So I think this is the critical fundamental question. From a science point of view, the new things that are being discovered in the obesity space particularly is that once we have obesity, there's a lot of abnormal hormonal changes that happen that can limit weight loss. There's cholesterol issues, there's blood pressure, there's testosterone deficiency, you know. So when you're treating obesity, you got to think about treatments for those particular aspects, plus the fallout of obesity. And there's lots of advances in treatment there. Yeah.
I mean, one of the subjects that you do touch on regularly, I know we've spoken on numerous occasions, is the element of stress in society. I mean, and it does obviously have a huge impact on testosterone, has a huge impact on weight management as well. Yeah. What are you seeing in terms of stress when you're interacting with people?
So earlier I mentioned that stress is not my quote. I can't remember the chap who quoted it. I think it was Henry Cavill who said stress has become nothing more than a form of socially acceptable mental disease, right? It's so prevalent, it's all pervasive, and everybody's under stress, that you need to know a human that's not stressed to be able to know what that state is. It's a state of no pressure, of lightness of being, of constant bliss, isn't it? Now, if you're under stress, what do? You try to find calmness, isn't it? Now, what are the interventions to find calmness? Alcohol, sugary drinks, nice food, entertainment, cigarettes, all the bad behaviors. When you stress, you don't feel like exercising, so we don't exercise, isn't it? When you stress, hormones get released in your body in excess that lead to more damage to your body if the stress is chronic, isn't it? So it looks like stress seems to be the root of the manifestation of a lot of the behavior comes secondary to that, you see. So if we're going to do behavior modification and treat pharmaceutically even, then I think perhaps we need to look at stress more deeply. But stress is internal, not external. The trigger can be external, but the reaction is in the mind. And the human prerogative is that we are capable of physical, emotional, and intellectual self-sufficiency, that no trigger can provoke us, and there have been great humans that have achieved that. The question is not prevalent in society in the way we live today. How do we achieve that? How do we pair that learning to some degree that we're not affected by even the smallest things, you see? This is important. Of course, macro environment plays a role. In a country like South Africa, where there's constant power outages, sewage problems, water outages, crime, right? Those are constant triggers. The government's job is to develop policy that makes environments conducive for human actualization, which is not happening right now. You see, there's a selfish approach, which leads to decimation of the system and the individual, isn't it? So this is very deep topics, right? But you got to look at, you know, stress on an individual level, and then on the macro level, the larger level, and that obesity systems map that I mentioned in the UK. If you look at it, it looks at it like that. Individual choice, collective choice. Individual home culture, collective culture. Individual psychology, collective psychology. And all of these things are intertwined in very complex and deep ways, and we're not having deep discussions on that. It's what we have a concept in this continent called Ubuntu. It's not a superficial concept of I am as you are. You've got to understand the deep nature of human connectivity. You know, individual's part of the collective. Collective is the nation. When you look at limbs of the collective as part of the organism that's the nation, we all start working for each other and the collective good, isn't it? But that's not happening. There's too much separation, selfish intention. There's no gratitude. There's no objectivity. There's a lack of duty versus rights, you know. And I'm linking a lot of philosophy to physiology here. You see, we can't disconnect our health with that that ideology.
That was endocrinologist Dr. Sundeep Ruda, and all the details of the obesity index will be up on the Santon Times website right after the show.
The best of Santon and beyond.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour.
Well, the Flight Centre Travel Group has reported it is seeing strong recovery in the market across corporate and its leisure business, and to chat about all things travel as we do on the show every single week. So to join me and talk about this is Ewan McNeil. He's the Managing Director of Flight Centre Travel Group in South Africa. And Ewan, you're currently trading at post-COVID highs. Is this still a bit of a correction in the market, or are we seeing new demand coming into the travel space?
Yeah, look, it's been a long recovery period for the whole travel industry. So we actually recently released our first half results for our 2023 financial year. And it has been our strongest 6-month period since the pandemic first hit. So it's been a long slog for all travel businesses. But yeah, we're certainly starting to see strong recovery across all our markets globally. Are we at pre-COVID levels? Not quite yet in all our businesses, but certainly demand is high, which is driving recovery in all our key markets, which is good.
I mean, we've had mask mandates being dropped. I mean, mandatory vaccinations and the whole sort of testing process has been dropped, which was, I think, something that sort of still put people off irrespectively of everything else. What do you think is still sort of holding back that demand? What are the other economic factors that you're sort of taking into consideration in terms of getting back to those levels?
Yeah, so obviously the good thing is most countries are open now. So majority of restrictions have been removed. It was extremely complicated for a long period of time. And thankfully, a lot of those restrictions have gone. So, that element of the traveler friction has been eased, which is good. But we still see a shortage in capacity in a lot of markets. So capacity isn't quite where it was. You know, we track total available seats globally, and that's been improving year on year. And the forecast for 2023 has it at just short of 2019 levels. So we're not quite there yet in terms of capacity, but we are getting there. And obviously, when there's a shortage in capacity, we do see that prices to travel are higher. You know, we've seen record levels of average ticket prices, which it does have a constraint on people's ability to travel. So that's the one thing. And obviously, so what's driving that higher average ticket price is shortage in capacity, but also input costs are higher, especially from a South African perspective. Big input costs in travel is often dollar denominated in the form of fuel, and just actual travel input costs are often dollar denominated for airlines. So, unfortunately, we are The exchange rate hasn't been favorable over the last few years. So that has driven higher input costs for airlines, and naturally that gets passed on to travelers. So, but saying that, we have seen a healthy trend, you know. So it's been good over the last year, seeing month-on-month growth in demand.
Well, Ewan McNeil, he is the Managing Director of Flight Centre Travel Group in South Africa, giving us a little bit of a temperature as to where we're sitting right now in terms of leisure travel and business travel on the back of their results announcement and some of the trends that they're seeing. And they seem quite favourable at the moment, and we'll see how the rest of 2023 rolls out. And thank you for making the time to be on the Sandton Times Hour. We're going to take a quick musical break, and we're going to be right back with more of the Sandton Times Hour right after this to wrap it up for another week.
It's a good question because lots of people have asked us that, you know, what are you going to do going forward?
That's a great question.
It's a really good, important question.
Such a great and interesting question.
I've not even thought about that until you just said it.
You're listening to the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and also available on all good podcast platforms. And that was You Not Us, Janique and Senex with Narcotic. Taking us into the closing minutes of this week's show, and I'm thrilled to be joined by comedian Eugene Causa to touch on the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival, which is coming to Empress Palace Casino in the Aerotropolis of Ekurhuleni. And that's from the 31st of March to Sunday, the 2nd of April. But for more on this, I've got Eugene on the line. Eugene, good to chat to you.
Hey, good chatting to you, man.
Eugene, is there anything still to laugh about in South Africa? Do we have any material, or are we overflowing with content?
I mean, there's too much to laugh about. There's too much to cry about, which is a great balance. So we're doing okay. We're balanced.
So you're reckoning this comedy festival will be chock-a-block?
Absolutely. It's just what the doctor ordered, you know. We're going to be coming in just off after the CEO has just recently resigned. It will be a month or so afterwards.
Is
not getting any better. Yep.
So we have to keep we have to keep track of all the CEOs that are resigning. So I just want to make sure we got the right one.
You have to make sure. Your deputy president has resigned. So there's a lot of resignations that are happening here. So you're right. We have to keep track.
But this year's show has also got a little bit of a Pan-African flavor as well. Now, you've got a couple of comedians from the rest of the continent coming down to South Africa.
Yes, we've got a few comedians coming from Canada. I don't want to mention any names and be a spoiler here.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
We've got comics from Canada. We've got some comics from Africa as well. A fan favorite, which is Basket Mouth, is going to be here. So it's going to be quite interesting to see all of them playing together. And it's my first time actually playing the Johannesburg International Comedy Fair. So I'm looking forward to it personally.
Well, Eugene, congratulations on that. But I have to tell you, I don't know about you, but I always find that South African comedians stand in a league of their own. I always almost feel bad for visiting comedians because when they come up against some of our South African talent, it's almost like the jokes don't land as hard as the ones by our very own talent. And that's always, I always find quite a compliment to some of the incredible people we see on our stages.
Absolutely, because I think it's all about acclimatizing to the place that you're at, the relevance that you gain by being in a place long enough. For example, when I play overseas, I take a couple of days before I go on stage just to observe what people are talking about, what people are watching on television, what's on the news. Because we take for granted, we might live in a global community, but you know, each state in America has its own politics and its own way of doing things. So if you're not cognizant of that, then you're in trouble. So I find that most overseas artists come here and they just stick to their set instead of just trying to find out what people are interested in here. But the lucky thing with humor translates, you know, as long as you can make it relevant to the person you're telling the joke to, they'll be fine.
Listen, what kind of material are you sort of focusing on at the moment? I mean, where do you find yourself gravitating to without giving away too much?
I think since I've done my one-man show in November to now, I'm gravitating towards social commentary. I think what's happening right now can't be ignored. I think the audiences want to hear what we think as comedians. They're tired of hearing what the politicians have to say. They're tired of hearing what news readers have to say. They want to hear what comedians have to say, you know, and I think it's one subject that we can't ignore what's going on in our country. You know, we have to cater to that audience. So my set right now for the festival is going to be structured around that. I want to touch on it. I want to speak about it, and I want to see what our audiences feel about the topic and if we can laugh together or cry together. But one thing for sure will happen. Either we'll cry or will laugh.
That's guaranteed for that ticket price. But it's interesting. It's, your observation is really interesting because I've been pondering about this for quite some time now. Is that the general trend around the world is that more and more news type shows or people are getting their news from shows that are actually driven from a comedic element. I mean, if we look at, you know, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, John Oliver, then in Germany, there's about two or three shows of similar ilk that do the entire German political and current affairs scenario through exactly that very similar format, the same in Switzerland, the same in the UK. And yet South Africa, that seems like it needs that kind of education in terms of what's going on, what do we need to know about, commentary about politics, just doesn't have the balls to pull off a show like this.
Absolutely. You are absolutely spot on. Your observation is so true. You have to remember that in our country, we are light years behind when it comes to being a comedy audience. In the States and in the UK and Australia, people have a theater culture. So they come to a club and sit and listen as if they would in a theater. You find that sometimes in a club, you have 3-4 shows. And I played the New York Comedy Club. They had 3 shows in that night alone. There are 4 clubs in the city. So you have to understand that for them, comedy is not just a thing that they plan to do a month ahead. It's a thing that they decide to do tonight. You know, they grab dinner and they go watch a show as well. But when it comes to news and satire has always been a great predictor of the headlines. So I think people now are relying more on comedians who do late night and who do talk. And now you don't have to rely on television anymore for late night satire. There's a lot of people on YouTube that are doing the same thing as well, where they predict the stories that they're interested in. And then if you wait 6 hours or sometimes 12 hours, the prediction comes true and then there's another episode for them. So people are now relying on fast news instead of waiting for top of the hour, instead of waiting for the next day for the morning show. People want their news now. And who better to hear it from than a person who doesn't take life seriously, you know? So people know that news corporations belong to people and they probably know that they are owned by the same people that they are reporting on. But on YouTube, there's an uncharted world. There is no control and there's no restriction. So people get to express their views as they are.
Well, Eugene Causa, maybe between the two of us, we'll get one of those shows off the ground. I think it would be an incredible to watch a weekly show, look, much, man, like we do overseas.
Look, man, count me in. Look, I've embarked on a few projects now that have to do with that space. And that's the one project that's missing. So, Alex, look, you've got my number now.
There you have it. Well, Eugene Causa, he's going to be performing at the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival, Empress Palace, from the 31st of March to the 2nd of April. And tickets are available at Web Tickets if you want to go watch him. I see Tats and Konzo is also performing, Dylan Olivier, Jason Goliath, Rob van Vuren, a massive lineup. I mean, you go onto the website, go check it out. We'll also put all the details on thesantontimes.co.za. And Eugene Causa, thank you for joining us on the Santon Times Hour.
Thank you so much, Alec, and have a great show.
And that's it for another Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8, also available as a podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. If you want to get in touch, you can email editor@santontimes.co.za or connect with us on social media @santontimes. And don't forget to visit the website www.santontimes.co.za. And feel free to send through your comments, your questions, your ideas, your thoughts on content, something you want to hear on the show or maybe see on the website. All of those are welcome. Thank you to all my guests who made time to be on the show this week, and also Vincenzo, as always. Thank you very much. And thank you to the Santon Times team, as well as everyone at Mix 93.8. And of course to you. Thank you for making the time to listen every single week. And let's connect again next week.
That's it for this week. Thanks for listening to the Santon Times Hour. And if you enjoyed it, be sure to share it.